This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
On TSN 1200, recapping yesterday and giving you a head start on today.
Giordano across the line, drops it back. Marner cuts into the middle, takes the shot, he scores! A bouncer! That gets by Billy Huso and puts the Leafs up 3-1.
Tries to settle it down, backs out to the line. A wrister from the point. Funny bounce in front, save Skinner. It's jammed it. They score, and it's Matthew Tkachuk. Opens the scoring tonight for the Panthers.
In the box.
Now up the right wing to Draisaitl in over the line with McDavid. The pass, McDavid to Draisaitl. Scores! Leon Draisaitl wins it for the Oilers.
Might have a rush from Hughes. It is Jack Hughes one-on-one with the goaltender. Shoots! He scores! Hughes gives the Devils a 3-2 lead over the Rangers with 14:16 to go in the second.
TSN 1200.
I think we learned a lot of lessons. And early on, you know, we threw the puck away, shot ourselves in the foot. I can't say that the other team did it to us. There's a complete different mentality for the importance of points and how to close games out and which guys are going to do it and which guys, you know, aren't going to be out there at the end. There's definitely a different mindset.
Now with Graham Creech, here's Steve Lloyd.
Welcome to it. It's an abbreviated edition of In the Box on TSN 1200. We are with you as usual till 2, but as you know, we are starting right now in between World Cup matches. We will have Wales, England coming your way at 2 this afternoon. Senegal and the Netherlands both punching their tickets off to the knockout stage with the early matches. Senegal 2-1 over Ecuador and Netherlands with a 2-0 win over host Qatar. Qatar, I think that they become the first host to be swept out of the group stage. Of course, Canada will wrap up its World Cup coming up on Thursday against Morocco. Eustachio did not train today. Not unexpected. We'll see if he's able to go. And Canada with one more to go and see if they can exit this World Cup with a win as we look ahead for Canada's purposes for another 4 years from now. Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, Kenny Walls with you on In the Box on TSN 1200. Creecher is at the rink at Canadian Tire Center. As usually, we are doing a show during a practice. We take coach live and all that. Did not do that, obviously, with the World Cup going, but I think Creature was down there to observe practice. Heard a little bit from DJ Smith in the intro. They're preparing to take on the Rangers at home tomorrow night. Graham Creech, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, terrific, Stephen. Nice to be back with you after just, my only responsibilities on the trip were Senators, so... And you were on the morning show, so nice to be back with you and Mr. Longballs.
Longballs Walls, producing for us at 87 George Street. Kenny, you were in producing the World Cup game here as well. You have lined up Dave Cameron for us on this Tuesday for his weekly hit, which has been interrupted with the World Cup and all of this maneuvering around. So we'll have Dave coming up at 12:30. We should have Dean Brown join us in the 1 o'clock hours or sends an NHL insider. Good afternoon, Kenny Walls. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm good. I've been in one the last little while. Absolutely in one.
You're drinking?
No, not drinking. Mind is in a blender.
Oh.
Not like going back to the road trip where the delay that happened because of the snow in Buffalo, and Ottawa was supposed to go down to Erie. So since just before that road trip started, I have just been on in a different level. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just been an odd couple of weeks. I'm semi-happy to be back here. It's nice to work with you fellas again.
Welcome to it, everybody. You can reach us and reach Kenny as well at 12-1200, where your standard text message rates apply.
I know you guys saw the pictures in Buffalo, but the pictures don't do it justice. Okay. It was crazy driving through there even 2 days later after the majority of the snow had fallen and just seeing the rooftops, the cars buried, and it was even a warm day on that Monday. And so some things melted, but it was quite something to drive through. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Good to hear from you, Kenny. All good. We got a lot to squeeze into just a two-hour show. Got those couple of interviews for you. Then we've got more World Cup action coming your way at 2 this afternoon. All right, Graham, why don't you give us from practice today. Heard from DJ Smith. There certainly is a little bit more of a positive feel around this group after a couple of road wins.
Yeah, actually, I can't give you the live in-person look. Something came up. I couldn't be here for the skate, so I wasn't actually here. Just following along online.
Okay, you got the vibe. You're there.
I am here, yes. I'm here.
Osmosis vibes.
Yes. Well, I didn't want to lie and pretend that I was watching the morning skate when I wasn't actually here, but or I guess the practice. But, yeah, I guess, and I was briefly chatting with Claire Hanna in here as well too. Just nice to come back on the heel of two wins, because when in terms of the vibes and the feeling around here, because you know how it started the trip, especially like they played well against Vegas but didn't get the win, and that's on the heels of starting terrific against the Sharks. Even in the second period, that they had a couple opportunities. Stützle got in alone and was denied, but to allow the Sharks to take over the game eventually in that second period, some tough goaltending, and then eventually the loss. So that didn't make, in my opinion, the playing well against Vegas all that important, because people were just frustrated with, we've heard that time and time again this season, the record is what it is, and people were fired up. And I think people are still kind of, They think they know what they're seeing from this team for the most part through a quarter of the season, but it's nice to have them come home with two wins.
And it's a home and home now against the New York Rangers, which begins tomorrow night. And starting tomorrow, it's a 3-4, and their first back to back of the season will happen on Saturday when Erik Karlsson and the Sharks come to town to take on the Ottawa Senators. So they've won a couple straight here, and we'll see if they can get a little traction, a little forward momentum. Obviously, there is still belief in that room with those players, and there should be. And we're discussing this yesterday as well here when I did a hybrid show with Lee in the afternoon, Graham, in that they've won two straight here. This is still a huge uphill climb. If you're thinking that this team is going to climb right back into a playoff race and kind of right the ship here, I'm not saying anything's possible here, but there is still a long way to go. But I'm happy for the group and listening to what DJ Smith had to say. And to your point, and we can all see it. Yeah, it's fine to say that you're playing well for the most part. Maybe you should have deserved a few more points along the way. That's got to be so difficult as a group to maintain a level of play. And it's not like it has been absolute garbage play to have the record that they've had this season. We've all watched this team play. It's a much better group than it has been in previous years, and they have played much better. But as you mentioned earlier, you get to the point, it's like, who cares? You know, you got to pick up points. You got to pick up wins. That is the whole point here. And that had to be so difficult for the players to go through it, especially if they played well against Vegas. Same old result, though. Eventually, you've got to see some rewards for the, you know, some fruits for the labor. And it's good for the group that they actually got a couple of wins at the end of that trip, because that's got to be a tougher and tougher sell for the coaching staff, with a group of players. As you go along, guys, we're playing well, but we got to clean up this, this, and this. But don't worry, we're playing well. Yeah. we're losing games still here. We need to see some results. And for this moment in time, and we'll see if they can keep this thing going. They got a couple of nice results at the end of that road trip.
Yeah, and that's a part of the point we'd been making on the pre and post game shows on this trip is, after you collect the first win and then obviously the second win, is they've maintained the same message in the media and I'm sure internally about playing well and the underlying numbers, and like, we're a better team than this, we're just not getting the result. Like, yes, there's a point where, okay, and I think we've seen it especially with the fan base and the media, well, look where you're at. It's about results, not about moral victories and playing well. But when you mix in those two consecutive wins with the attitude that they've had in the media and with each other, then you can build on that. We'll see what happens. I don't think this is going to be a playoff team, but at least it's coming back and there's some signs, I guess. And we'll see how they carry that over at home now and throughout the rest of the month, because they got a lot of climbing to do.
Curious to see what happens with the roster this week as well. They're only carrying the 6D as it stands right now, as Thompson was returned, and they will go to New York to play the Rangers. And so we'll see if there's going to be anything forthcoming from Belleville on that front in the next couple of days. And also, the Alex Formanton deadline is looming at 5 Eastern coming up on Thursday. Will there be a trade between now and then? One way or another, we're going to have some resolution this season as to what's going to be happening with Alex Formanton. So something else to keep an eye on here in the coming days, as we're almost, 2 days away from that 5 Eastern deadline. And if people, I'm sure a lot of you understand, but what that means is any restricted free agent player has to sign a contract to be an NHL player by 5 o'clock on Eastern on December 1st. And if they don't, they are ineligible to play in the NHL for the entire season. So that's what that means, and we're a couple of days away from that. Want to hear from you at 12-1200, standard text message rates apply. Because it's a quick show, we're going to go a bit of scattergun. I just want to get some all kinds of different information that's trickled in out there. Did you see the contract extension that Roope Hintz signed?
Yes.
With the Dallas Stars? This is a very good player that maybe doesn't get as much recognition playing in the West, and he was kind of a player that it took a little bit longer to develop into the legit high-end player that he's become at 26 years old. Well, the Dallas Stars have certainly recognized those talents. He has signed an 8-year extension worth $8.45 million. 26-year-old center who has become a huge part of the present and now obviously the future of the Dallas Stars. What do you make of that deal?
I'd say going right. Like, if I think all of us in Ottawa were happy with the extensions and the term that were handed out to their young players this off season, and if you're going to be okay with that, how could you not be with Roope Hintz, who was over a point a game player in the shortened bubble season? He had 72 points in 80 games last year, and is over a point a game player this year. That's a going rate. So I think if you're going to critique that and say he's overpaid, but at the same time liking what we saw in Ottawa, and I know that in Ottawa's case, the Stützle and Norris are younger players and maybe eventually have a higher ceiling of being better than him, but he's showing that, and it's put it up. It's been consistent. He did it in a playoff run as well. I don't think you can not like that deal.
Always have liked his wheels. Can really, really skate.
And that's a good thing about the 8-year for a 26-year-old player too, right? Is when you have those wheels and you don't rely on other parts of your game, where maybe you don't move around so well, and maybe the wheels fall off quicker when you're in your 30s, where if you're a terrific skater, then that can give you more life as well.
And it's been just a great fit for where he plays. He's obviously the team's number one center. And he's got Jason Robertson on one wing and Joe Pavelski on the other. Robertson is behind, just second only to McDavid in league scoring. And by the way, Jason Robertson, we talked about this on the show yesterday, myself and Lee, missed all of training camp, folks. Didn't really matter to him, as he skated on his own, basically with a trainer in Michigan, and then came to Dallas and hit the ground running. And then you got the big Pavelski on the other side, who's clicking along at about a point a game again at 103 years old, 38, for Joe. But Joe Pavelski and Jason Robertson are both players there's always some criticisms, right, for facets of games, except for a very few rare players like the McDavids in the league here. But Jason Robertson was always like, yeah, buddy, he's not a great skater. And Joe Pavelski, he's been told he's not a great skater his entire career, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a great fit. Like, whatever, it's... They're not bad skaters. It's just they're not elite skaters. But you've got one down the middle of the ice on that line with Roope Hintz. So different position. A tinge older here. What do you think about the marketplace on a DeBrincat extension when you see a player like Roope Hintz get that kind of money?
Yeah, that's a good question, and one that we should all be asking. I'm interested to see how this plays out with the Senators, and I think at the beginning of the year, you kind of just assume, okay, well, it's going to be what long term. If he decides to want to commit here, it'll be one of those long, like 8-year deals, and yeah, you just assume the number was going to be at 9. Has the season and just the so far lack of pucks going in the net impacted your mind on what that contract eventually looks like, whether it's here or elsewhere? Or do you think that this is just slower start in terms of actual production wise to the season, and he'll still be receiving that kind of paycheck? Like, has it changed at all for you?
No, I'm still watching this team play, and the season as a group has been obviously disappointing so far, despite coming off a couple of wins recently. I'm watching an elite winger. The goals you would think will still start to come a little bit more often for DeBrincat. Had a big goal last game.
I thought he was really good against the Kings, and like without the goal.
That's what I mean. That's where I'm going with this. It's not just that game as well. He's I've said it many times about DeBrincat. I think we all knew the offensive player that he was going all the way back to Erie. But I didn't realize that he was this physical, especially for a guy not the biggest of a stature. How heavy his stick is to win puck battles. How he does work defensively as well. He's a good playmaker. He can make those around him better. And just because he's behind his 2-time 40-goal pace, that's his label, and it's a good label to have. To me, I don't think it would affect my feeling on, well, I don't know if we're going to sign this guy because he's not scoring at the rate that we thought he would at this stage of the season. This is a good player. If you can get him done, you get him done. No question about it still. That hasn't changed for me at all.
Yeah, me neither. I was just curious. No, I was curious about the number. Like, if you think that number has changed at all, or if you still basically was the exact same number you had in your mind at the start of the year.
I would say that I know you get hung up on the qualifying offer. If he signs a long-term extension with the Sens, it's not going to start with a 9, right? Because you're going to be taking term into that here. Now, if it goes there, it's a QO. The QO is 9 to retain his rights. So I would think on his next contract, it's not going to be an AAV of 9-plus to get him done here. So we'll see. But we keep coming back to kind of the same topics here. So if you talk about DeBrincat, then you talk about Artem Zub. What's it going to take to get him done? Are these two things somewhat connected about what they're trying to do with both of these players? So that is still, well, two items, big items, on the to-do list for Pierre Dorion here as this season unfolds to get both of those players signed.
Yeah, for sure. And I think if they are related, I think I maybe pivot and just get Zub done as soon as possible. I think that absolutely needs to be taken care of. Look at the conversations that everyone was having to start the year when Zub goes down, when Shabbat goes down, how crystal clear it is the lack of depth right now on the blue line, that and it's been acknowledged that that they've been looking to address specifically that right side. So yeah, you need to make sure that you lock him up.
All right. Any thoughts on any of this? Send them in, including this one from Pasquale. Why would DeBrincat sign a long-term deal and lower his AAV when he can just sign the 1 year at over $9 million, then assign a long-term deal, bringing the average down? Cheers, Pasquale. Well, because players do like security as well. If you have an opportunity to sign, and you like the situation you're in, and we're not in his head. By all accounts, I think he is fitting in with the group here. I think he likes his teammates. If there is a deal on the table to get him signed to a long-term deal, I would think you would strongly consider that. Like I said, you get too hung up on these QOs with some players, right? Mm-hmm. You think Timo Meier is going to sign a long-term extension with San Jose and it's going to be AAV of 10-plus because that's what he's making in real cash this season?
No.
Like, we've seen this scenario before. Here's a recent example of a player that really has not, to this point, worked out as they had hoped. When the Hurricanes offer sheeted Kotkaniemi and ended up getting him from the Montreal Canadiens, His AAV was a lot higher than the extension that he signed. Right? That was to get him into Carolina, and there was it would not have made any sense whatsoever. You know, this is where you got to marry in the term. Term matters and how this plays out. But anyways, we'll see how it plays out. This is a bit of an evergreen conversation.
They wanted the revenge there, but yikes, maybe they targeted the wrong guy.
No, it's never about revenge. They said so.
No. Oh yeah, down to the exact figure even.
Yeah. Even though the contract details had those kind of details in it. No, it was just coincidence. They liked the player. All the stuff that floated out on Twitter right away, coincidence as well. Just, it's funny how things work here. Oh, man. All right. Kenny, do you want to push right through here? Because we've got Dave coming up at 12:30. Is that the plan?
Sure, why not?
Sure, we'll push right through. All right, get a few more texts coming in here as well. Afternoon, boys. No chance to Brinkett take the discount when he can easily get $9.95 a year as a 25-year-old free agent. Do you think that Alex DeBrinkett, like you're talking next year, like he's an RFA at the end of the season. People need to understand that. He's still another year away from being a UFA. Yeah, maybe. You're right. But if you're a player right now, and injuries can and do happen, think situations can change. If somebody came to him right now, and that somebody is Pierre Dorion, and offered him a multi-year contract extension for more money than he's ever made at this point in his career, he considers that, I would think. Like I said, we can't climb inside the head of every player. Some players, it's a mentality thing. I'll keep going back to our old buddy Whitey, Todd White. You know, Whitey was never the superstar type player, right? But he'd always say, man, I was always looking for term. I was looking for term. Of course, you know, you don't want to shortchange yourself, but term. You know, that's what will free me up to be a better player. This is what I don't want to have to think about this as much, but some guys are more dialed in of kind of doing the year-in, year-out, betting yourself thing. Anyways, I didn't think we'd be getting into the minutia of this, but here we are. It was Rupe Hintz. See? We had a point there. It started with Rupe Hintz, and we kind of pivoted to a couple of players, and mostly DeBrinkett and Zub, that important players still need contracts beyond this season. Now, Zub's an UFA at the end of this year. DeBrinkett is still a restricted free agent at the end of this year here. What else we got here? Yes, Wales and England's coming up at 2. Somebody asking that question. We got that coming up for you this afternoon. Good to hear from you, Josh, as well. Thank you, Josh. I'll just say thank you for your thoughts coming in. Appreciate that. Depends what the Cat does the next 2 seasons. If he gets 25, 30 goals, he'll never get $9 million-plus unless he keeps on a 40-goal place, which is not looking good this year, comes in from Wes. All right, so the New York Rangers are in town for a game tomorrow night. Same 2 clubs will meet Friday evening at Madison Square Garden. The Rangers, I think I did the show with you, Graham, where we just randomly threw out some picks, right? Wasn't it you and I? I think it was.
You mean for who would be playoff teams?
Yeah.
It was you and I.
And I think I picked Colorado over the Rangers in the final. I'm really bullish on the Rangers at the start of the year. It has not gone really according to plan so far for the Rangers. I think they've expected a lot more of themselves. So we'll see what they really look like up against the Senators. It's always good as we follow the Senators, obviously closer than any other team. To see a back-to-back like this, you get a real handle of where this other team is at. And I'm a little perplexed, to be honest with you. I haven't watched every Ranger game. I caught quite a bit of their game last night. But I don't know about you, Graham. I'm a little surprised that they just simply haven't been better so far this season. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I definitely didn't expect them to be a quarter way into the season sitting 5th in their division. I didn't expect New Jersey to be number 1, but I did think that New Jersey was going to be a team that was going to take a step. And I think that the Metro has a couple of teams in it where, like with Pittsburgh and Washington, at some point, do they eventually miss out and they have the age and past success kind of start catching up with them. But definitely didn't think the Rangers would be, I guess, depending on how you look at the loser point, one game over 500. Still time, obviously, but definitely not the start that they would have wanted. I didn't love how they handled their free agency. Like, I didn't dislike it, but I didn't know if Vinny Trocheck was going to be the answer that they needed, that they were missing up the middle at that term. But I do still think there's time for this. I think maybe a lot of people were anticipating Lafreniere taking another step this year as well. So there's a number of reasons, but I thought they would be over one game over 500 at this point.
All right, so that's the opposition tomorrow night. Same two teams Friday night back at MSG as well. Dean Brown should join us coming up next hour as our Sens at NHL Insider. We'll take a break when we come back. The head coach of the Ottawa 67s, Dave Cameron, is going to join us. 67s coming off a win. They actually lost a few games. Kenny, what happened? Is that your fault? Who do we blame for this? They're not allowed to lose. But back to their winning ways are the Ottawa 67s. Dave Cameron's going to join us next on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, 1234. Abbreviated edition of In the Box today. Little Wales, England coming your way at 2. We just got on the air with you at noon after the morning matches. As we could tell you that Senegal and the Netherlands have both punched tickets and advanced to the knockout round. Senegal, the 2-1 win over Ecuador. Netherlands with a 2-0 win over the host Qatar. And Wales, England will be our feature match coming your way at 2 this afternoon. Steve Lloyd, Graham Creech, Kenny Walls with you. We'll get back into some of your text messages. Dave Cameron, head coach of the Ottawa 67s, usually joins us Mondays. But with the World Cup schedule all over the map, it's going to be Tuesday today. And we are always a pleasure to welcome Dave to the show. And it's been a while. But, Dave, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, Lloydie. I was given it to Kenny the other day when I got canceled last week. I can't believe I got canceled for a program where a billion people watch.
Well, and I felt a little guilty as well. I was on the morning show on the World Cup. And I'll take some heat on this one as well, because you guys haven't lost many games, and you actually lost a few games when we missed a hit. I'm just saying. Sometimes karma matters, right?
Well, that's a good time to miss the hit, though, too, when you lose.
The coach is, that's great, guys. No worries. I don't get to come on here and talk about all these wins. All right, well, we'll get into the most recent win. You got back on the horse with a win somewhat recently, but, you know, and listen, it happens to everybody. There's some illness going around here. How much, Dave, did that kind of slow your group down? And maybe it continues to, and the reason why you're giving them a couple of full days off here to get ready for the next one.
Yeah, you know, like everybody in this profession knows that your biggest challenge is the length of the season. And there's going to be some ebbs and flows. There's going to be some injuries, some suspensions, some illness. So that's all par for the course, and that's how you build a really good team. To get through some of those and have to play some of those games where you don't feel great, you don't have a full lineup, some guys are playing at a position. So that's all part of the team growth, and every team at every level does it. So we got on a long road trip. It got delayed a little bit because of the snow down through Buffalo and Erie. Got dragged out for a couple of days, but hey, That's hockey. And the disappointing thing in the Hamilton Mississauga Erie sequence wasn't so much the snow or anything like that, but we got really sloppy and ended up taking, like in the Erie game in the second period, we took 7 minor penalties. And I think in Hamilton in the third period, the last 10 minutes of the third period, we took 4. And anytime you help a team beat you, generally it does, and Erie did, And if it wasn't for a miraculous save by Max in the dying moments in the Hamilton game, that one would have been pushed overtime too, and then who knows what would have happened there. So that's probably the biggest disappointment of this little stretch that we're going through. But we'll be better for it.
Yeah, we'll be better for it. We often hear athletes and coaches and everybody speak about facing adversity and how it helps you down the line, having rather than teams that maybe they don't face as much adversity. So how does it help you prepare to be better down the line the next time that you do face some adversity?
Well, the big thing with this age group now is to define what adversity is. And, you know, sometimes us old school coaches, when we see stuff, we kind of look at it as a chance for a club to grow, because it is taking us out of our comfort zone, and we can label it adversity. But this young generation is pretty resilient, and what we see as adversity, they don't necessarily do. So it's just a matter of being able, I think, to show them the difference in the style of play when we're not helping the other team beat us, you know, versus the style of play where we're on our game and we're forcing teams to beat us. And just to always kind of remind them of that, because when you're off to the great start we were at and you're slipping a little bit, you know, the players don't always recognize it, you know, that we are slipping a little bit because they're still getting the results. And at the end of the day, so it's up to us coaches just to kind of make sure we keep reminding them the difference between when we're on our game versus when we're maybe helping the other team a little bit too much.
You are coming off a win as you're back at home this past Sunday, and the next two are also at the arena at TD Place, a 5-1 win over Sudbury. And I noticed in that game, Dave, when's the last time you coached a game where you had two players with Gordie Howe hat tricks?
Well, I don't know if I've ever done that, and you know, it's a good rivalry. That Sudbury club, you know, extremely skilled club, a really really good transition club, with a lot of good local Ottawa talent on it, and I think obviously when they come back to play in Ottawa, you know, with family and friends here, they crank it up a little bit. And I think that just led to a little bit of a higher emotion level. And, you know, it was nice to see our guys, you know, not be stupid by any means, but certainly to embrace the fact that there will be teams that will try to be physical against us. And I thought we handled ourselves real well.
Muse had a couple of goals in that game as well. How has he progressed in his first season in the league here?
Oh, Henry's a real good player. He's going to be an exceptional player in this league. And the big thing with the young guys is just to kind of let them know that every game or every shift isn't their whole career, that it's a process and to settle in. And I think Henry's grasped that. As skilled as he is, I still think his biggest asset is he's competitive as hell. And, you know, to take a young kid to come in and, you know, we draft him as a defenseman, but with suspensions and injuries and sickness, we asked him to play up front. And he settled in nicely, I think, up front in the Peterborough game against a real good team. And he scored two big goals here after he got comfortable against Sudbury. It was a big part of a win. So, really pleased with the person and the player we got when we got Henry.
Has he given you something to think about when you do get healthier, more bodies back, because he's played so well up front for you?
Well, he's like all guys that you draft as defensemen, they're very protective of that position. And so when you move them up, you have to make sure that there's some dialogue there too. As we have Thomas Sermon, who did it for us last year and did it for us parts of this year too. And I always use as an example Christopher Schubert, who played for the Ottawa Senators, you know, he played up and he played defense, and how valuable that is to a career. And certainly you know, how valuable it is to a team, you know, when it's going through injuries and sickness, that you have a person that not only can go up and play, but can go up and play well.
I was going to bring his name up just before you did. I liked Shuby. He was a character, good guy. But there was there were times there where he would come across this way, at least with the media, Dave. It'd be like he didn't like the fact that he was playing four, but he got a 3-year one-way deal because of that versatility, which I kind of was left scratching my head how he'd be upset about that. So the point is here, if you can do more things and make yourself available to do different things for a hockey team, that's going to help you personally and your team, right? Like, it seems kind of obvious to me.
Well, in the simple math equation, you double your chances. You know, if you could play two positions, and Big Buff did it in Chicago, won the Stanley Cup. You know, he was a dominant player up front for them when they did it, and ended up being a real good, obviously superb NHL defenseman too. So it's about you have to have a real special skill set to be able to do that, right? And I think the first part of that, have to have a pretty good hockey IQ to do it. But like I said, my experience has told me over the years, for any time you ask your defenseman to do it, they most of them will do it because they're all good teammates and that, but they're pretty protective of that defensive position that they, I guess, think that's their bread and butter. But I'm sure if you ask Shuby now, and he checked his bank account, that three one-way deal, he'd be quite glad that he did it.
Do you think there could be some hesitancy, especially maybe in a younger player, because, like, yes, they're stepping up to do something else for the team, but maybe if whether it's turning professional or getting drafted or whatever the situation might be, that they hesitate because they don't want to be viewed as, well, maybe he's not good enough for that or not good enough for that. Like, could that be part of it too, why some players don't like doing it?
Well, it would make sense. It would make sense. That might be a possibility. I do know that today's athlete is more in tune to a whole bunch of outside noise, I think, than athletes, players have been in the past, where, you know, where players just played and they were just glad and passionate about being able to play. And you know, that was the way Henry was on Sunday here. He was all excited. I mean, you see his celebration after the goals. He was all excited about playing up front and just embraced the opportunity and you know, did a real good job. But you know, all the outside noise that's going on for kids at the junior level in terms of, you know, goals and assists, their draft year, you know, the rankings of the draft when it comes out, that certainly plays a big part in their mental well-being. And it's something we're always, you know, well aware of when we're trying to just tell them, you know, don't play every shift or every game like it's your whole career, because at the end of the day, if you're good enough, you'll play. And somebody will find you. So just kind of stick with the process and you know, a little less with the noise and you know, just trust the outcome. But it's an everyday sale for them. They check everything, you know, they check the highlights, they check the stats, they check the rankings, not only themselves, but where everybody else is too. So they spend a lot of time on it.
Last one from me. So you've just come through a really busy stretch with the culmination of that game on Sunday. Nice to have a little bit of a reset week here. You don't play again till Friday, and that's December 2nd. And when you see December on the calendar, right, I'm starting to think about, Dave, you're probably going to start thinking about maybe losing some players to some national teams with tournaments coming up as well. And also just your team health, maybe beyond what's been running through the team, that little bit of an illness here. You know, how are your numbers right now and as you look ahead to Friday and availability of players?
Well, we're getting back. We're getting some guys back from suspension. You know, I think for the most part, I've seen some guys drifting through here today. I think everybody is kind of on the mend from the flu and that too. So I expect pretty well a full lineup. Jack Beck is still out. He's not going to be available. I don't think Jack Dever will be back. by this weekend. But I think we'll have everybody out, so our numbers will be up there, and then I think we'll just get settled in, and then we'll lose some guys to the World Junior camps too. But hey, that's good for them. It's always good for your organization to have players represent their countries at the World Juniors, and it'll give some other guys a chance to step up and get an opportunity here too. And the games around Christmas are a lot like 3-on-3 games, or the overtime games, 3-on-3. You'll see some things in the games as we get close to Christmas as guys are excited going home that you probably won't see a lot of times. So I'm not sure how much coaching is going to have an effect here the closer we get to Christmas, but we'll have some fun with it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your schedule. The last three games, you're playing back-to-back-to-back, 16th, 17th, 18th. Good luck, Coach, with the focus there, okay? Good pregame speeches will be needed.
Maybe I can have Santa come in to do them.
All right. Listen, we'll do it again next week. I won't ditch you, I promise. It'll be Kenny's fault if something comes up.
Okay. Well, thank God for Kenny.
All right. Thanks, Dave. All right.
Thanks,
Dave
guys.
Cameron. Okay. Most weeks, Dave Cameron here on In the Box, joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Dean Brown's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour, sends an NHL insider. Dean was obviously with the team on the trip, calling all the games, called the last two wins at practice today. Get Dean's thoughts of where this team is at. Now they're back home. Well, for one. Well, two of the next three, right? Okay. It's a 3-4 coming up, and that has not happened yet this season. They're going to play tomorrow at home against the Rangers, at the Rangers Friday, back home against Carlson and the Sharks on Saturday. Dean will come up in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll break away at 2, and not for the drive, but for England-Wales at the World Cup in Qatar, still to come this afternoon on TSN 1200. Okay, Graham, we'll be brief in this segment here. Thank you, Dave Cameron.
Do you have anything planned? Because there's a good text we can read.
I was going to read that, and I was going to hit the web poll.
Oh, nice. I don't know why I even suggested. Yeah. You're the veteran. You know what you're doing here. My bad.
Okay. No, it's all good. So, all right, we'll get to the web poll in just a moment here. And the way I was just about to tee up this text message, you know the saying, there's no such thing as a bad idea, Graham?
Mm-hmm.
It encourages people, hey, listen, speak up. You know, we're brainstorming here.
I think we're going to have different opinions on this text.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a bad idea. This is a terrible idea.
I love this text. I love it.
Here's a text that comes in from unsigned. Like, are we going to put up the scene from Super Troopers on the big screen as well? Every time he touches the puck, all the Sens fans should meow. At the same time, how cool would it be to hear 500 people meow all together?
There's a funny joke and then a shot, I guess, at the attendance.
I think so.
Maybe not every time he touches the puck, but maybe like starting lineup. Get a big meow from everyone. It could be hilarious.
Terrible.
Good text.
Terrible.
Good text.
All right. See? No such thing is a bad idea.
You know what? I'm still waiting on my Rudy chance, so I don't think we're going to get the cat meows.
All right.
Although they were meowing, when he scored that two-goal game and he was interviewed, I think that was in Philly, everyone in the room was meowing as Gord was interviewing him.
All right. Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day. Dean Brown's going to join us coming up on our next segment. Which team has been the biggest surprise so far this season? I think I asked this question a few weeks ago on a pregame show. But check out the record of these four teams here. Of these four teams, which is the biggest surprise? The 19-4 Devils, the 18-3 Bruins, the 16-5-3 Kraken, the 13-6-1 Jets. Those are good options.
Yeah,
Devils,
this is a good
Bruins, Kraken, Jets. Well, for me, I'm not going to lie, they're all surprising to me. I didn't have any of these teams in the playoffs, let alone with records like this. This is why I don't bet on sports that often, folks. It's become more of a thing. I'm still bad at it. So I kind of stay away. Prediction business like that, I'm not very good. 19-4 Devils, 18-3 Bruins, 16-5-3 Kraken, 13-6-1 Jets. Man, I'm going random here just to see what the numbers are because I can't decide. 19-4 Devils leading, actually by quite a bit at 46%. 18-3 Bruins, 10.5. Kraken are actually much closer to the Devils. 16-5-3 of the Kraken, 42%. So they're second place. Bringing up the rear, the Jets, 13-6-1. Did you have a tough time deciding? Could you vote on one?
Yeah, I picked Kraken. I think I didn't expect the Devils to be 19-4. I did think they'd take a step. They're way hotter than anyone thought, for sure. But I think Kraken, 16-5-3, that's an awesome record for a team in their second year and a little bit of a tweak to the rule changes, plus GMs recognizing that they weren't going to give a terrific free player to pick another good player. So they didn't get the Vegas treatment this time around. And you look at that lineup, and I don't think there's... other than like a Beniers or something, anyone that screams like, "Oh, superstar" kind of thing. 16-5-3. I didn't see that coming. That's awesome. Good for them.
Well, specifically to the Kraken, this is something I definitely did not see coming because they had goaltending problems last year, and they've had goaltending issues this year. They've had to start Martin Jones a lot, and they've got that record.
Great point by you.
My goodness. And it's not like his numbers are spectacular, but he's been good for them. He's given them a chance. And whoever, like the way his career kind of spiraled at the end of San Jose and since, and they've relied a lot on Martin Jones in goal, and they got a record like that. All right, Dean Brown's going to join us next as our Sens and NHL Insider, as In the Box continues on TSN 1200.